love that video. I love that God has us right where he wants us to shower us with God's grace. And I have to say, as a mom, especially with boys, I could just imagine the delight that those boys had when their assignment was to get up in the morning and just get covered in mud. So anyway, that looked like it was a lot of fun, but how beautiful it is to go from that moment where they know that they are in trouble. And big, big trouble. And then they realize that they're forgiven. And it's beautiful, beautiful that not only are they forgiven, but they're just kind of baptized in grace. So I'm Pastor Erin, if I didn't introduce myself at the beginning. We're talking about grace today. We have new worship guides. I don't know if you've noticed. There is a lot of pressure on me now to say things that are tweet-worthy or noteworthy. But if you would like to take notes as we go along, there is a space for that in our new bulletin. I will say, one of the greatest gifts that I have, one of the privileges I have as a pastor, is I get to go on hospital visits. And it is, as members of our congregation, or maybe they're facing surgery, or they're in the hospital for whatever reason, I go to the hospital, visit with them, listen for a little while, and then pray with them. And on occasion, I get asked to go to hospital rooms of people who are not members of our church, but they're asking that I come in. And there was a time a few months ago, where it was one of those occasions. It was someone I didn't know. They didn't have a connection with our church. His name was Steve. Steve was facing a pretty serious surgery. He was facing a heart surgery, but because he had all of these pre-existing health conditions, the prognosis that he was given was that after the surgery, he had about a 50-50 chance, a 50% chance that he was going to survive this surgery. And while there are a lot of classes that they give you in seminary, like pastoral care, nothing really prepares you for that moment or gives you the right words to say when you have someone who's kind of facing possibly the end of his life, we don't know, but a lot of uncertainty and perhaps even a lot of regret. And so as I met with Steve in this sort of sacred pre-surgery space, I could tell that he had kind of drawn into himself and that he was doing a lot of thinking. And so I asked him about that. I asked him, you know, what he was thinking about or how he was feeling. And what I learned as he was talking to me is just kind of a reflection on his life. And Steve had had a life where he had made some choices he really had a lot of regret about. And part of the reason he was facing this surgery was a result of those choices, that he had made some decisions that had really put his health at risk and had lived kind of a wild life. But on top of that, not only had those decisions he was dealing with, he'd been struggling with addictions, and this path had led him to a place where he has been rejected by his family. And even the church that he had grown up in felt like a place that he couldn't go, that he had felt like he was such a sinner, there was no way that he could go back into that space, that they would not accept him. And so he was in the space where he had was not only regretting what he had done, but he really felt because he was so far away from God, there was no way that he could be accepted by God's grace. He really believed, like those kids in the video, he had just messed up too much to be saved. And for Steve, this message was reinforced by the church that he grew up in. And he had heard as he was growing up, if you don't do these set kinds of behaviors, then you can't be part of our community because you're supposed to act a certain way. And as I sat with this man who had been suffering for so long, it struck me in the conversation that I had viewed the world totally differently than he did. And so much of what we learn in church has the potential to help us, but also, in his case, to really harm us and to really get us to a space where we don't feel safe. And I have to tell you, I've been United Methodist my entire life. If you asked my grandmother if she were still living today, she would tell you I was born Methodist. And Methodism runs really deep in my family. Like I have an aunt and an uncle that are retired United Methodist pastors. And so I tell you that as just full transparency, full disclosure. You are not about to get a sermon series from an unbiased source. So I love being United Methodist. You might expect that from someone who's a pastor. So just know that that's where I am coming from, and that's my perspective on it. But I do believe that as corny as it sounds, we have this beautiful theology, and it's something that makes us really distinct and unique about it, and especially this theology of grace that we're going to talk about today. Although I will say, as a pastor, sometimes I do get questions a lot of times, like, well, what is it about being, and what's so special about being United Methodist anyway? Or how are we different from other denominations? And really, does it even matter? if, you know, as long as we're Christian, does it even matter? And I have to say, all of those are really fair questions, and each one of those could be their own sermon, but we're going to do just one of those today. And we're going to talk about grace. So I hope that you'll stick with me for the next 3 weeks as we talk a little bit more, not only about grace, but other distinctive things about United Methodism. And today, as I talk, I'm going to talk about Wesleyan grace, and there's a unique understanding. John Wesley's the founder of United Methodism, and so it's called Wesleyan grace. Theology is the set of words that's just a fancy church word we use to talk about what we believe. And I'm going to use about three fancy church words today besides theology. One is prevenient grace, one is justifying grace, and the other is sanctifying grace. So I don't want you to get caught up in words you don't know. I'm going to explain what they mean. Just kind of hang in there with me. But my encounter with Steve made me really appreciate this theology of grace that we have, because it's the lens I see the world. And so he was in a space where he was feeling all of this regret that he couldn't be forgiven. But the way I was raised, I had such a bigger understanding and a different understanding of grace that I tried my best to pass that message on to Steve in there, that we could be forgiven, that you're not, there's no place you can be that's too far for the grace that God has already given you. And that's where grace steps in. So what is grace? I'm going to get this off the slide. Grace is the love and mercy that God gives us because God wants us to have it. It's not because we've earned it. That was in the scripture that we read today. There's nothing we can do to deserve the grace that we have. It's an undeserved gift and loving action from God through the Holy Spirit. And because God loves us so much, God wants us to experience God's grace. And now we'll get into those church words. The first one is prevenient grace. The first type of grace that Wesley called was prevenient grace. And prevenient literally means the grace that comes before. And this is the grace that is already there before we even know about it. And I mentioned to you that I'm a lifelong United Methodist. So I was kind of raised in the church, going to church and Sunday school. I was baptized as an infant in the United Methodist Church. But baptism is a beautiful show of prevenient grace because the person who's baptized, they don't really know what's going on as an infant. But God's grace is still in that act. It's the grace before you even know it. And as you're kind of growing, it's all of these things and the people that come in your life that are preparing for you to understand grace, but it's just kind of getting you ready for that moment. So prevenient is like a gift that's there. God is actively present in our lives, whether we know it or not. It's already there. And so you just imagine that it's like a gift just sitting there, and God's just waiting for you to notice it, kind of wooing you in, bringing people and situations into your life. So you'll notice that the gift is there, but you've done nothing to earn it. It's just waiting. In my faith journey, I mentioned being born Methodist, and in the video, it's kind of like this, that patient dad who's there. The grace is there, right? It's in that water hose. The kids don't know it's there, but it's just waiting to be showered on them when they notice. And the second type of Wesleyan grace is justifying grace. And with justifying grace or justification, this is when we realize that our sins are forgiven. The gift was there, and now we see that it's there for us, and we accept that gift. You can kind of think of this as the moment when you first realize that Christ's love for you was real. And it could be the kind of grace that's experienced over your whole lifetime. If you don't have a specific moment that you point to as that was my moment of noticing justifying grace, that's okay too, because sometimes it's a gradual process. And sometimes it happens at a particular moment. For me, when I was 14 years old, I got invited to a Christian rock concert. And it was at that church, even though I had experienced grace my whole life, it was at that concert where someone asked me if I wanted to accept Christ, was the terms they used. And that's when I realized that Christ's love was real for me and that I wanted to turn around, be converted, to change my life and follow the teaching there. So that was my moment of justification. And for some of you, you can think back in your faith journey and remember a moment like that where you really understood that God's love for you was real. And John Wesley would call that justification. In John Wesley's story, he had what they call the Aldersgate experience. He was on Aldersgate Street in London on May 24th, 1738, according to his diaries. And he had a part where his heart felt strangely warmed. And he understood that God's love for him was real. And so you may be able to think about that kind of grace in your life and just answer to yourself, when did you know that God was real for the first time? And finally, the third type of Wesleyan grace is called sanctifying grace. The word sanctify means to make something holy. And again, it's probably not a word we use too terribly often in our everyday conversations, but it means to be set apart. And as Christians, as followers of Christ, we are called to live in a way that's a little bit different, a little bit set apart. And sanctifying grace is all of those things that we do, all the practices that we have, the way we live our lives after we know Christ's life. Christ is real. To become more like Christ. It's a process. And there's a lot of good news in this theology of grace. One thing, for sure, is it means all of us are welcome here, which is kind of annoying sometimes because you might want to think that some people shouldn't be allowed here. But God's grace is for all of us. Each of us have that unearned gift. And we have the opportunity to grow together, learning together about what it means to be Christ followers. And because of that, grace is really countercultural. When we live in a culture that divides us, that says who's in and who's out, God's grace stands right up in the face of that and says, no, God's grace is for all, and there's nothing that you can do. And we live in a culture that says you have to be able to somehow be a self-made person, that you have to earn things to somehow be good enough. God's grace says, no, you don't do anything to earn this. God gives it to you. And that is the beauty of our theology. And so today we talked a little bit about God's grace and used Wesley's terms. We talked about prevenient grace, the grace that comes before, justifying grace, that moment when we notice that God's grace is real, and sanctifying grace, the grace that we experience over this lifetime of trying to grow together in the faith. In the next couple Sundays, we'll talk about certain faith practices that we do either as individuals or collectively as a group in order to be more like Christ. But we all come to this space being in different places on our faith journey. Just like I said at the beginning, whether you've been here your whole life or you're surprised that you're in a church on a Sunday morning, you might have always known about God's love for you. God's gift of grace and peace has been just something you've always known, you've always accepted. Or you could be in a place where you've been really deeply wounded. Maybe it was even the church that wounded you. Maybe it's you who's not accepting the grace that God has for you, that you somehow feel like you are unworthy. And if you find yourself in this place of pain, you need to know God's grace and forgiveness, then this is the phrase I want you to really hear. You are forgiven. You can find hope in knowing that God's grace is for you. You are forgiven. And on the other hand, if you've come to this space and you feel like really everything's okay, I'm not feeling very broken, you feel blessed even, that's totally okay too. And I do also have a message for you. In fact, I've heard a lot of sermons on grace over the years being raised United Methodist. You kind of expect that. I want to turn it just a little bit because one of the things we also learn is that we are made in the image of God. And if we believe that that is true, we are not only called to accept God's grace, but we are called to be that way, to be that grace for other people. And so my prayer and my challenge for you is as we move forward as a community of grace, for you to figure out who in your life, pray about who in your life needs to know this message of grace, this message of hope and forgiveness, and figure out how you can be the person that delivers that grace and is an agent of grace for them. Who are your neighbors who need to know about the hope and the love that God has for them? Who is it that you know has been so broken that they need your words of encouragement? And consider how God might be prompting you to move toward them. And my deepest prayer is that we can really be a lot like the dad in the video, that when we encounter situations where we would much rather point out the sins that are going on in the situation, instead, we can just be the dad and just have this hose of grace and hope and forgiveness and turn the message around so people can know that they are loved, that they're accepted, and that God's grace is for them. And that would be a relaunched vision that I would love to see. Will you pray with me? God of grace, we thank you for being a God who is always with us, no matter what falls in our life. Whether we face joy or pain, sunshine or rain, you call out to us, laying down the groundwork so we can discover the love and forgiveness, grace and acceptance you have always had for us. Open our hearts to realize who it is in our lives who needs to experience some of your grace. And God, please forgive us when we neglect to show grace to one another or refuse to even give our own self some grace. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Distinct privilege this morning to welcome someone that we've been waiting for a very long time. And that would be Sarah Bush, our new director of youth ministries. One of the reasons she's so special is she's a graduate of Texas A&M. And she is currently involved in a training program with Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary. It's the Center for Youth Ministry and Training. She's working on a master's degree in youth ministry as she begins her work as our student ministries director. So I hope that you will join us in the fellowship hall immediately following this service during our connection time so you can get to know Sarah better. It's so great to have you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Pastor Jenna, and we are so glad that you're here with us today. I have some announcements to make about things going on within the life of our church. One of those, Mike just mentioned, there is connection time after each service in Fellowship Hall. You can get your coffees and donuts and visit with people and see what we have going on within the life of our church. I've already been in there, and it's wonderful, so come join us again in there. And fall studies and small groups will begin after Labor Day. You can sign up today and the next two Sundays in our connection time. There is a three-night event that Pastor Aaron mentioned at First UMC of Arlington called Back to Grace. It is being hosted by the United Methodist Churches of Arlington, and it's going to be held on the evenings of August 26th. 27th and 28th, and our very own band will be there on the evening of August 26th, so please go and join us for a potluck dinner and a wonderful night of music and praise. We think it's going to be amazing. And for more information about any of these and other opportunities, you can look at the back of your worship guide. Now, will the ushers please come forward for the presentation of our tithes and offerings? Let us pray. Generous and loving God, you give so many gifts to us, and all too often we hold back the gifts. We ask that you bless us this day to give freely of our gifts to others so that your kingdom may come on this earth as it is in heaven. Help us to remember that you are a gracious God and you have given each of us grace. Even when we are unworthy of it, you give it to us freely. And we ask that you guide us to be your hands and feet to this hurting world. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
I'll search for light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out by the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. There's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain. He's a pain taker. Lord, chains. He's a chain breaker.
Wesleyan view of grace as being a grace that is prevenient, a word we don't ever use, justifying and sanctifying. But the more important thing about that, hopefully we learned that today you are called to be the types of people who are showering God's grace on others. And if this morning God has worked in your heart and you feel that you want to either commit your life to Christ or to become a member of this congregation of the United Methodist Church, you are invited to respond by coming forward during this song. And I now invite you all to rise as you are able as we sing.
Temptations.
Oh, 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 oh.
Everybody knows heartbreak, isolation.
Oh, 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 oh.
Lay your burdens down.
Burdens down.
Lay your burdens down.
What a friendly having Jesus. He's to rest our I see grace on every horizon, and forever and ever His heart is my home.
Everybody has fears, everybody has worries. Everybody knows sorrow, devastation.
Oh, 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 oh.
Lay your burdens down.
Lay your burdens down.
Lay your burdens down.
What a friend we have in Jesus. East to west, my sins are gone. I see grace on every horizon. His heart is my home.
No more betrayal, for He is faithful. He fills me up and my cup runneth over. No more betrayal, for He is faithful. How He has proven it over and over.
No more betrayal, for He is faithful. He fills me up and my cup runneth over. No more betrayal, for He is faithful. How He has proven it over and over, over and over.
What a friend we have in Jesus. East to west, my sins are gone.
I see grace on every horizon, and for
as we go from this place in order to love God and love neighbor and make disciples, I invite you to, if you know it, say this blessing along with me from the book of Numbers. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace.
Set of holiness. felt peace in the valley you made where you're not meant to be, where the shame throws shadows on you. But don't you forget that you're headed to.
breath of God now.